Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the song service. Let's turn to number 405 in the Christian hymnal. Excuse me, 474 Christian hymnal.
Send me on the promises of God.
have a selection?
38.
38? Christian Himmel? At this time, Wayne, I have a devotions.
I too want to greet you all in Jesus' name this evening. As that last song that we sang, Jesus loves even me. You know, if it wouldn't be for that, we wouldn't be here tonight. And that song really stood out to me. You know, he loved even me. And I'm glad to be here tonight. It's been a while not being here on a song service or a hymn sing evening. It's something that I just remember I enjoyed as a boy growing up. Hymn sing, we call it song service at home, and I always look forward to the fourth Sunday of the month. At home we have song service, and I'm not much of a singer, but I enjoy listening to it and helping. So, for a scripture reading tonight, let's turn to Psalms 23. I'm going to make a few comments as I go, and then I've got some history of a song that I want to read, and so that's probably where I'll spend more time at. Psalms 23, it's a psalm that we probably memorized and can probably all quote it by memory, but there's a lot in there as we think of a shepherd. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, seem like in today's day, we want something. We want more than what we have. But as we think of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we are one of his, we aren't going to lack anything. We won't want any more but that. And that's a real blessing that as his children we can experience that. Shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There in the beginning of the verse, he restoreth my soul. You know, when we think of restoring something, if it's an old tractor, an old car or something, you restore something back to original. You know, you try to make it look like it was the original piece to start with. And how, there's not a bigger blessing than that, to be restored back to normal, back to what he has brought us here for. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. How many of us can say our cup is running over? We live in a land of plenty. We live in a land of freedom. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot that the Lord has blessed us with, even though sometimes we complain about this and we complain about that. That's too easy to do, to complain, but I trust our cups are running over with the many blessings that he has blessed us with. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's where we are here tonight, in the house of the Lord, and we can experience more blessings. The writer here used Psalms 23 and in this, and I trust as I think of singing, I think of who was inspired to write these songs. It's been kind of brought to my mind here more recent in singing a song. You know, are we really, do we really pay attention to the words? And when you think of that, who wrote the song? What inspired him to write them song? What was he going through? What was he facing? Did he lose a loved one, or was he maybe out on the sea, or what brought to his mind to write these words of these songs that we have today in our hands, many of them? Okay, as I read here, Dr. Joseph Henry Gilmore was a versatile and scholarly young man. In 1862, at the age of 28, having graduated from Brown University of Newton and Newton Theological Seminar, Gilmore was ordained as a minister in America's Baptist Church. His first pastorate was at Fisherville, New Hampshire. Shortly after his ordination, Pastor Gilmore traveled to Philadelphia to visit more colleges. And while there, he was asked to speak at a Wednesday evening prayer meeting at the First Baptist Church. Choosing the 23rd Psalm as his text, Gilmore spoke to the congregation about God's leadership and guidance in every area of life. As he quoted the verses of the familiar psalm, he was drawn to the second and third verses that stated in part, "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." After the meeting, the visiting pastor was invited home with his host, Deacon Watson. Later that evening, as the two men continued discussing the theme of the message, Gilmore reported the following events. During the conversation, "The blessedness of God's leadership so grew upon me that I took out my pencil, wrote the hymn just as it stands today, handing it to my wife, and thought no more about it. If the self-effacing pastor thought no more about it, he was alone. Mrs. Gilmore thought the verses had been literally and spiritually merit and submitted them without her husband's knowledge to a paper published in the Boston called The Watchman and Reflector. When the poem was published in the paper in 1863, William Bradley, a well-known composer of early gospel hymns, read it, liked it, and set it to music. 2 years later, in 1865, Pastor Joseph Gilmore was called to minister at the Second Baptist Church in Rochester, New York. Prior to the service, he entered the sanctuary and began thumbing through hymn. In his astonishment, the pages fell open to He Leadeth Me, the hymn poem he had hastily penned 3 years earlier. He was not displeased, yet wondered who had written the two-line refrain with which the hymn ended. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. The mystery of the refrain was not solved until the death of the author's wife several years later. As he went through her papers, Gilmore came upon his own handwritten text of the He Leadeth Me. There, clearly penned in his own writing, was a two-line refrain. It would seem that the title of the Gilmore's poem was more prophetic than even he had realized. After the publishing and popularity of this first hymn, Gilmore went on to attain success as a lecturer, university teacher, textbook writer, and preacher. But his memory is kept alive today by none of these achievements. A small bronze plaque placed in the cornerstone of the office building that now stands on the site of the First Baptist Church in Philadelphia remains his public memorial. Below the words of the hymn's first stanza, the scripture reads, in recognizing of the beauty and fame of this beloved hymn and in the remembrance of his distinguishing author. And as we think of the words there, He leadeth me. It just stood out to me that through this all that he wrote these few lines, and here we have them today to enjoy. So maybe I can get somebody to lead this song. It's, I think, in the Christian hymnal. No, it's in the church hymnal, 383. So maybe Dorvin, you can lead it. Then we'll sing it, and then we'll have prayer.
Oh, bless it, Lord, oh, words within me.
All right, let's stand for prayer. Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for the privilege that we have to gather in this way, that we can gather in your house and that we can together sing the many songs that have been put together for us to enjoy. Those that have wrote the songs for our good, Lord, and that we can benefit thereby, Lord. We pray that you would direct us as we sing these songs, that we might realize and try to grasp the meaning of the message in the song, and that it could be an encouragement to us. Keep us in your care. Direct us as we join together, that we could be encouraged and be strengthened to face another week, Lord. We ask these favors and blessings in thy name. Amen.
Good evening. Thank you, Luane, for those thoughts on Psalm 23, and also Dorvin for leading that song. You know, Jesus will meet us where we are, wherever we find ourselves, whether we need refreshment or whether we need to turn our life completely over to him. He has promised he will meet us there, and just appreciate what was shared about Psalm 23. There's a lot of things, applications we could make and that can be made. Appreciate that. I wanted to see how many hymns of the church are actually here tonight. Can you hold them up? There's a fair amount. Okay, maybe we'll try a song later. I felt kind of bad that I asked you to bring two hymnals when we could have easily done it with the ones we have. But there's plenty of Zion's praises here, I guess. Okay. Yeah, okay, there's a lot more Zion's praises. Let's turn to number 469. And I was choosing the songs this afternoon, and I thought, I'd like, it'd be nice if you could sing this song, and then I'd find another one I thought would be nice to sing. And finally, I thought, well, I'd probably have enough. I counted them up, and I had, I think, 15 between the two books. We probably won't have time to sing all those, but we'll sing a few here. This one, Balm in Gilead, I don't know if we ever sung it in church here or not, but I think we can do it. We'll just sing it the way it's written here. And then after this song, the children can come forward and Kendra will lead you your singing. Number 469, the Zion's Praises.
Sin.
mistake here. Sorry about that. Okay, the children can come forward. Kendra will lead you. Thank you, Kendra and the children, for singing. Appreciate that. Let's take our Christian hymnals now and turn to number 46. Today would have been Francie's birthday, and this is one of her favorite songs. That would be nice if we could sing it today. Number 46 in the Christian hymnal. Of course, we know she is today with the one who always took care of her, and that special someone. Which he loved very much. Number 46.
Mary. Oh, how I love Jesus.
All right, now let's take our Zion's praises again. Turn to number 762. After this song, Brother Will Overholt will have a history of a song. Number 762, it's listed under children's song, and I'm not sure why. Definitely applies to all of us. The challenge to be anchored, unmovable in the Lord, like a tree that's planted by the water. And I trust that will be a testimony for all you children here, as well as us grown-ups in the years to come. 762.
Glory, hallelujah, shalom, anchored in Jehovah, shalom, just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved,
Tonight, the story I have is on the song, Shall We Gather at the River? It's found in the church hymnal on number 633. There are a number of songs that I really love, and this is one of them. It expresses, you know, that time when we'll be gathering at the river or perhaps coming to the end of our life. The story here starts off with a funeral, and it kind of ends with a funeral, but it tells the story of how this song was written. Also, the scriptural reference for this hymn is in Revelation 22, 1 and 2, which I'd like to read. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The sound of this old familiar song, sung by the United States Army Chorus,
reverberated through the National Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. The occasion was the funeral service of Justice William O. Douglas. Douglas had requested this song because he remembered his parents singing it when he was a boy in Goose Prairie, Washington, where his preacher father had eked out a meager existence for his family. Shall we gather at the river, both words and music was written on a hot, sultry day in July of 1864 by Robert Lowry, a Baptist preacher in Brooklyn. The extreme heat had brought on physical exhaustion, and he had flopped down on a couch to rest. He had often wondered why hymn writers had written so much about the river of death and so little about the river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. As he pondered this, some words began to come together in his mind. First, there was a question of Christian inquiry. Shall we gather? Then the answer of Christian faith. Yes, we'll gather. Soon the words and tune were completed. The preacher, musician, Lowry, was a man of many gifts who had a keen sense of humor. Pastor of the Hanson Place Baptist Church, he was an excellent preacher who loved to preach, yet he found great joy in writing music. His tunes for We're Marching to Zion, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, I Need Thee Every Hour, and Where Is My Wandering Boy Tonight were singable and dearly loved. But none of his songs have been more popular than Shall We Gather at the River. This song crossed the nation to the state of Washington in the early years of the 20th century, touched a young boy who would serve 36 years on the United States Supreme Court, longer than any other justice. As his life came to a close, his memory recalled the song of his childhood. Brother Jared, would you lead this song, 633, in the church hymn? We'll come up promptly.
All right, song number 633 in the church hymnal. And Andy, can you go up E flat?
Shall we gather at the river where bright angels bees have trod with his crystal tide forever? Washing up his silver spray.
For that history and Jared for leading that. Let's take the Zion's praises and I'll turn to 602. 602, Zion's praise, and then we'll have a group by Marty after this.
Thank you.
first song we're going to sing is by Cool Siloam and Shady Real. And I remember singing this especially for Nettie Weaver. And the second song we're going to sing is called We Are Family. And we sang this when I was about 16 or 17 on chorus tour in Indiana a long time ago. And it was a joy to sing this again. And I think it is the part that says, we are born of the Spirit, we are children of the Lord. And that is precious. Do you call it God's family?
Oh.
Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. Appreciate that. All right, let's take our Zion's Praises again, number 538. And I'll take one selection after this. And then after that, then James, you can be prepared with your group. No? No? Okay. Sorry. All right, number 538.
As I travel through this pilgrim life, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the seas that is the Christ of Calvary. This will be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I
All right.
16.
Number 63. Let's sing the first and last verse of this one yet. Number 63. No. It's Abide With Me. No, it's in Zion's Praises. It's left. Yeah, I'll just look it up here. My writing is kind of hard to find the. Okay, I think it's 472, or 472, let's see. Yeah, number 472. Abide with me to eventide. Let's sing the first and last verse, and the chorus can come forward and come up then on the last verse.
The light is
Thank you. probably a little bit of a strenuous exercise after the Lord's song in 2 verses, but thank you anyway.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.